So I want to bring this first section to you and encourage your interaction right off the bat. What does it mean to be a good follower? Young and old, you can just shout your answers out and I'll record them in my head because we couldn't find a piece of paper. Why? Did I say how? Karen, why should you follow Jesus? Why? Why, Karen? Why? Karen's got a whole list. She's just selfishly keeping it together. Hannah, why should we follow Jesus? This could be a very interesting section if it's just me thinking about my own thoughts. Is it why and not how?
Why?
It's definitely why. Why should be a good follower? Chris, why should I be a good follower of Jesus? Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you're here, Chris. Right, anyone else? Chris has broken the ice. He's given the perfect answer because Jesus said so. Is there any other answer? Because he loves us. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Now we're getting there. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for including us. That's great. Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. That's it. That's right. Why? Not how. Why? Okay. I knew I was going to forget that. I'm going to stand up here. We don't have a printed order of service this morning. My brain has gone to... I'm still on holiday somewhere. I can't tell you where I am. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Why should I follow, right? Okay. Any more answers? Any more? For any more? Oh, come on. Yes, that's the one. Oh. That's right. Because he made us, we're made in his image, so we should do what he says, what's right for us. Brilliant answers. Brilliant. Any more? Okay. We're going to get lost, so we need to follow someone who knows where they're going. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Because he can be trusted, that's right. Is that because we can't always trust ourselves? We'll get to one of them later. Yeah. He's got a plan. That's right. I love that answer. That's great. God has a plan for us. Why should I follow? Because he's got a plan. Any answers on this side of the room? What? No, you shouldn't follow Jesus. Oh, Hannah, that should... Try again, Nathan. Come on. I'll come back to you in a minute. Oh, my kids hate me being at the front. You know that? They really do. Anyone else before I pass on? Oh, that's great. I like that. A God-shaped space. Ecclesiastes talks about that, but I can't remember where. Yes. That's true. When we don't, we make a mess of it ourselves. These are really good answers. And actually, because of things you've been through yourself, and you're asking the set, you've already asked this question, why should I follow? Because you've been along that journey, haven't you? And you got to this place, and you can look back and remember a time when you asked, why should I? And then you decided upon that, didn't you? Right. So, it's time to hand over for our first video. Right, you've got to bear with me this morning. I'm really still on holiday somewhere. And Karen's looking at me the way wives only can to their husbands. So thank you, Malcolm. Can we have the first video?
So we've looked at why we should follow Jesus. And we're going to have a quick look now at who are you listening to? So for some of us, we might have missed a few weeks of church, we've been on holiday, and all sorts of other things start coming into our minds. There's music that we listen to, things that we watch on television, all sorts of other things that we see. So we're going to have a look at who are you listening to. And Jesus says in John 10:27, let me read this out. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I think most of you probably know that there's different different ways of shepherding. And in our country, we often use a sheepdog to round up sheep. But in some countries, in a lot of countries, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And we're going to see an example of that in a minute. But to illustrate this, we're going to play a little game first. So I need a couple of volunteers. Don't all shout at once. Anyone willing? Is that not painful or anything? Thank you, Catherine, if you come down. And I need somebody else. Ginny, come on then. I'm going to blindfold one of you, and I'm going to ask Murray to put some chairs out, and one's going to stand over there, and the other one's going to stand over here, and you're going to guide them through the chairs. Sounds simple enough, yeah? Okay, so we will move the balls and the babies out of the way, so the moving obstacles we will move. just for this moment. Right, 1 second. Okay, so Ginny is going to call out to Catherine and get her to come up to her, avoiding the obstacles. Okay, go for it. Perfect, well done. Okay, Catherine, yeah, you deserve that round of applause. Take that off. Right, no, stay here. Catherine, would you mind going back to the beginning again? Because we're going to do it again, slightly differently. No, you did it perfectly. But this is to illustrate something. Now, this time, when you do it, Ginny's going to be saying exactly the same things again. We won't even move the chairs. But I would like all of you to shout out instructions to Catherine as well, please. Okay? All right? Okay. Right, okay. You ready, Ginny? You ready, everybody else? Yep. Okay, right, off we go. Go. Right. Okay, all right. Catherine, you could take the blindfold off. Thank you very much for giving. Let's give her a round of applause. Catherine, actually, I shouldn't have let you sit down, but that's fine. You can stay there. What was your experience the first time through? Yeah, clear, organized, safe. She felt safe as somebody was giving instructions and leading her through. And what was your experience the second time? Oh, felt, if you didn't hear that, she said it felt like life. So was that a little bit chaotic? A lot of stuff all coming at the same time and not being able to process and pick out the things that we need to listen to. And that's a really good example of how it can be with God. If we spend our time listening to lots of other things and taking lots of information from the world, but we don't keep our eyes fixed on the Bible, we don't keep our eyes fixed on hearing him through prayer and through his word, then we get all the communication muddled up, and it's really hard to pick out what is God. And when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," we can only hear his voice if we get to know and get to listen to his voice and keep that the center. So I'm going to show you another very short clip now, and it is of an example in life of this, of sheep listening to the farmer's voice. Is that amazing? I love that. It's actually giving me goosebumps. It's that just that the sheep know their master's voice so well that when they hear it, their heads immediately went up, didn't they? They were immediately, oh, I know that voice. I know that's the person I need to trust. And as he called them in, they all come in. I want to be one of the sheep like that, that follow Jesus, that hear his voice, that read a verse, that know when he's speaking to me, when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, and my ears prick up, and then I follow him to do whatever he wants us to do. We're going to sing again now. The first song we're going to sing is My Lighthouse. And it's a similar idea, isn't it? We see, we hear his voice, and we follow him in. The lighthouse keeps us safe, as Catherine talked about earlier. It's not a voice, but it's that light. But it's a similar idea. So let's worship him again. Who are you listening to? Listening to the master's voice. And we're going to look at how. How should we follow? With trust. I don't know about you, but in my spiritual walk, there's times where I feel like I know where God's taking us, and we start going along that way, and then things don't seem to be panning out how I think they're going to pan out, and it's really difficult to maintain that trust, and it's really difficult not to complain. And through the whole of Exodus, there's a story about a people group who wanted something, prayed for it, God gave it to them, and then they struggled to continue to have trust because it didn't look like it was going to pan out that way. And this is a really important lesson for us, because as we pray, our faith grows when it gets challenged. And sometimes it's really hard to not complain and not turn around and go, oh, Lord, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I was thinking. Where are you? Where are you in this? What are you doing? Are you even there? Do you even exist? That's when those big questions come in. And actually, the way we need to follow is in trust. We all stood and we all sang, I will put my trust in you alone. I will not be shaken. But actually, to live it out is sometimes much, much harder. So we're going to show you a little clip now about those people in Exodus, the Israelites, who asked to come out of Egypt, asked to come out of slavery, and then got to a point where they were saying, "What? We want to go back. We want to go back into slavery," because they didn't trust without being shaken. So this is how not to do it, but there's a lot of lessons to learn from it. So let's watch this clip. I don't know about you, but 40 years does seem like a long time to me. And maybe shouldn't say it, but I kind of think I probably would have been one of those ones complaining. And we all have that challenge, whether it's the little kids watching that, and I know it referred to kids there, but actually that's an important story, however old we are, because it's really important to know that we need to follow with trust, without complaining. And remember, next time you get to that point, you haven't been going at it for 40 years. When you've been praying and praying, it hasn't been 40 years. 40 years was the time that they wandered around in the desert, expecting to have gone straight to the promised land, expecting to have come out of slavery and gone into freedom straight away. So let's be good followers in trusting and obeying him as well. Okay, Murray's got the last point.
Okay, our last question this morning is something that was kind of covered in that video there, and it's a question of, can I follow on my own? Can I do this by myself? And I think the Bible's quite clear. I mean, we just witnessed 2 million Israelites traipsing across the desert because God loves big groups of people. And it's only occasionally that Jesus would retreat on his own to quiet places to have time with God. And he told us, didn't he? He said, when you pray, go into a private space on your own with God. But the norm is this. The norm is this. This disparate group of strangers who are thrown together, different generations, different genders, different races from all over the world. We're all together here as part of this single group, which is the family of God, on a Sunday morning. Or whenever we meet, when two or three of us are together, that's what makes God happy, this big group of people. Now, I want to demonstrate that this morning. I could go through every section in the Bible where there's more than three people, but I think you might get bored by about Exodus. So instead, I need some volunteers. This is the last time. And I know my volunteering is always a bit more extreme than Karen's one. So I'm going to do something really interesting. So I need strong people with good backs. Mark, you feeling strong today, mate? So I think Mark's going to volunteer. I need 6 volunteers. Yeah, come on down. Oh, right, okay, yes, thank you. Right, okay, now, because the point of a good community is, you know, we strengthen each other, don't we? The body strengthens the body, don't we? We're led by the worship team, and they give it everything, and they lead us into the presence of God. That's what this group of people is all about. And quite often, we, the weaker Christian, depend on the stronger Christian, whether they be male or female, older or younger, somebody who's got a bit more depth to them. We go to them and we say, I'm really struggling with this place. And they say, you know what? I love you. I've been at it a long time. I feel this is what God is saying. Come on, let's strengthen that belief. And we rely on them to help us and strengthen us, don't we? We strengthen each other. So we need a good, strong foundation, don't we? So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to build a human pyramid of trust, okay? Yeah, you said you wanted to be a strong foundation. This is your chance. So, gentlemen, on your hands and knees, very close to each other. Now, I don't know about you, I was thinking teenagers for the middle level. What do you think? Okay. Oh, yeah. Come on. Come on. Yes. I do feel comfortable climbing on the backs of men. Come on, break the glass ceiling, ladies. Come on, let's do it. They all claimed to be strong men with good backs, okay? Can we use your daughter, Dan? Yes, okay, fine. Do you want to come and help? Because you're going to have to lift her up on the...
I think I'm going to have to take my shoes off.
Yeah. I think Holly might appreciate you taking your shoes off. Have you got sharp knees? That's the next question. Oh, there we go, there we go. Well done. Okay, yeah, oh yeah, one-handed. Right, okay, now let's gently do that in reverse. Or shall I make my point? Shall I make my closing address, my 10-minute address while they're... No, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh, nobody got hurt. Thank you. All I wanted to say this morning is that I love the pyramid structure because it's strong, isn't it? It exists in a coexistent fashion. The Bible is very strong when it comes to telling us about how to exist together. We're told that we should be bricks in a wall. We're told that we should be part of God's family. We're told he unites us intimately with each other. He intertwines us with... We could have just done the conga around the church, couldn't we? Ooh. We could have just done the conga. That would have been enough. But it's just good to see. I like the thought of that some of us are stronger than others. Some of us are lightweights. And maybe we need more support than the heavyweights. And I actually have a verse that would indicate this. Thanks, Karen. She's like, don't forget the verse in the Bible. My fingers are all sweaty now. I didn't do anything, but I'm just a bit... Ephesians 4, verse 16. Oh, Malcolm. Oh, good job. Is it the same version? Yes. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. As each part does its work. You got that? So the Bible is very good at talking about us being joined together. The body was the one I didn't mention, wasn't it? The body. I love that part of us all being the body. We don't all want to be an eyeball or a finger, but God joins us together. And we're all different, aren't we? I love church because it's crazily different. It's like people you would walk by in the street and go, not talking to that person. Then suddenly you sit next to them in church. We were driving in this morning, and we were just driving along near McDonald's, and this little car was just in front of us, and it just pulled right in front, randomly pulled in front of us, and it slammed on the brake, no accident or anything. And she looked at me, and I was like, oh! You know, and I thought, man, that's a bit desperate trying to get McDonald's. She didn't even go in. I mean, what's wrong with that? Anyway, so, and I just thought, we're all joined together. I could have imagined her coming and sitting next to me on the front row, and I'm like, oh, it was you with the car, wasn't it? She didn't, I don't think. If you are here, don't say anything. It's fine. Nobody got hurt. But we're all so different, aren't we? Feel free to agree with me, or maybe I'm the only one that's different, and you're all normal. That's fine. We all find our level of normalcy. But God has brought us together, hasn't he? We all have a part to play. We all have giftings. I love the whole sandwich thing. You know, I believe in sandwiches. I've got a sandwich. You know, and then God gives the sandwich to be given away to someone else. Because God says, you know what? I'm going to give you the gifts. And then I want you to use them. I want you to pass them on in whatever way you see fit. Because the body does that. You know what I mean? We don't all have the same function. We don't all see. We don't all hear. We don't have the ability, all have the ability to walk, but together we accomplish all these things, don't we? I love the fact that we are a unit, a singularity in the eyes of God. So can you do it on your own? Well, you can, but it's hard to do harmony when you're just a single person, isn't it? I think we could do it on our own for a short time, or we maybe do it on our own too. Re-energize ourselves in the way that we like to be re-energized, or coming before God to have him fill us. But together we do so much more, don't we? That thing called synergy, you heard of that? You know, they had those cart horses where one could pull 10 tons, but you put two cart horses together, they could pull at 50 tons together. Because working together, we're so much stronger, aren't we? We overcome each other's weaknesses, we build each other's strengths, and we double the effort. We more than double the effort. So thank you so much for following us this morning. Thank you for all the volunteers. Thank you for all that were part of the craziness. And we're going to carry on by passing on to Matt, who's going to lead us in communion.